Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can all go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, interesting people pop in to rent something. We go through the films that they've loved across their life, and we are just here to help you figure out what you could be watching on streaming platforms and out in cinemas. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop. Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV? Morning, guys.
Hi.
How you doing? We got Cole here today.
Yeah.
And we got Perrin.
Yo.
I'm so cool and laid back, man.
I'm a cool guy. Chilled.
You are a cool guy. Welcome, everyone, to the video store, and thank you for wandering in. It's lovely to have you at our video store. So one thing before we get started is I want to make a little shop announcement.
Oh.
Okay.
I didn't know we could do that.
Oh, yeah, okay.
This little button here.
Oh, is that what that does?
Yeah.
And then
everyone in the shop can hear what we have to say.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, let's do it. Attention all customers. This is just to let you know that our good friends over at Duis Wine are running a special promotion with us. If you don't know about Duis Wine, it is fantastic wine that comes in a box. Hence the name. And you can go over to duis.wine, and if you put in the promo code VideoStoreDuis, all one word, you can get 15% off your order. But you have to choose to do the collection at the Bioscope. So over here at the Bioscope, we've got a place where you can come and collect your Duis wine so that you can save on shipping. All right, so that is Video Store Duis to get 15% off your order of really good wine over at duis.wine. Today on the show, we're going to have a very interesting guest pop in to rent something. We have got Zoe Ramushu, who is many, many things, a filmmaker, an actor, a journalist, and she is behind Real Estate Sisters, which if you have been scrolling Netflix, you have seen it in the top three for the last week or so, which is lovely. The film is out, so it is on Netflix, and I think it's just going to be incredible to talk to her. Someone I haven't met, which is exciting. So I think there's going to be lots to chat about. Have you guys got something to keep you busy when she pops in?
Yeah, I'll make something.
You'll make something.
Yeah,
shoot a little movie in the back room or something.
Cole, come
Cole,
with
what
me.
Are you? What are you going to do?
I'm going to go fix the aircon.
Okay,
something's wrong.
No,
I don't know how to do that, but you know, I'll try. Press
okay.
some buttons.
Lovely. You go do that. This is Zoe popping in to rent something. How's it?
Hi.
How are you?
I'm really good, thanks. How are you?
I'm great, man. It's nice to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too, and I'm loving the space.
This is the first time we've met.
Yeah.
Hey. But you've had some involvement with the Bioscope.
Yes, I have. I've been to the space a couple of times. I had a film screening here in 2022.
Ooh. Where was it screened?
It was screened here at the Bioscope with Arif, under their
Good old Africa Rising International Film Festival.
Exactly, yeah.
That's usually in November.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually in late November. And I'm a big fan of Arif.
Yeah, yeah. Fantastic, fantastic. Alicia. I always call them Alicia because I'm trying to say Ayanda and Felicia.
That should be their like Heat magazine name.
Oh my gosh. Hashtag Alicia.
Yeah. No, they love me. So Ayanda's been a guest on the video store.
Mm.
We should actually have Felicia, his lovely wife, join. She's the muscle in the relationship.
She is.
She does the work.
She's a doer.
I really appreciate them. And, you know, they're quite close to the Bioscope, literally and figuratively. They're in 44 Stanley. So we often do Saturday morning workshops and we often do these premieres with them. And
lovely.
They come in with their red carpets and, you know, they're doing something really interesting where they're effectively a casting agency.
Yeah.
That's the sort of bread and butter, but the real give back is Actors Spaces, which is their platform to help champion people in the industry.
They're casting with us right now for our next film.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
So we were here yesterday running the casting. they cast it for the film that we're that's going on Netflix tomorrow.
So let's talk about it. By the time that this episode will come out, your film would have already been out on Netflix.
Yeah.
Tell me what it is. Firstly, you're a jack of many trades, right? You produce, you write, and in this case, you've directed, hey?
Yes.
Okay, what is the film?
Oh, no, sorry, not on this project.
On this project we're going to talk about, you were the producer.
Producer, writer, yeah.
Okay, lovely. Okay, exactly. And what is the film?
It's called Real Estate Sisters.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is it all about?
Real Estate Sisters is the film that you want to watch because it's wild. It's a comedy, but it's also like a murder mystery.
Lovely.
So set in Pretoria, which we were really intentional about because my business partner, Ria Moetivoot, she's the writer with me. We co-wrote it and then she's the director. She's from Pretoria.
Okay.
So we don't get to see Pretoria a lot on screen, you know?
Yes.
So the story is there's two broke sisters, you know, they're selling like back rooms and, you know, renting like shoddy apartments in Sunnyside. They're hustling, you know, but the one sister's got like big dreams to be like the next Pam Golding, you know, that's her vibe. And she's always talking about deals. So she meets a guy, falls in love, you know, and all of that. And then he offers her the sale of his Waterkloof Ridge, you know, mansion.
Okay. So this is now, like a big scoop for her. Yeah.
Exactly. So she ropes in her sister, you know, they start their own agency, quit their jobs.
Oh, God.
You know?
Just for this job.
Yeah, because they're going to make big bucks, you know.
Yeah.
And then next thing, they find a dead body in the house.
Oh, Lord.
So the story is just about how they keep continuously trying to sell the house and solve this mystery of the dead body without getting caught and arrested by the cops.
Okay.
So it's like a comedy.
Sounds fun.
Yeah.
Lovely, man. And you wrote it?
Yeah, myself and Ria.
Okay. And just a little bit of context, how long have you been doing this?
Filmmaking.
Yeah.
10 years.
Lovely.
It just like feels insane that that's how long it's been.
You said you came from, you studied at Columbia.
Yeah, I did.
That's amazing.
Yes.
Let's talk about that. The closest I've ever got to Columbia was on one of the visits, I think I was in high school. You take this ferry around Manhattan Island and at one point they show you there's this cliff face with the big C that's painted on the side.
Mm.
And there's apparently another college nearby. Is it nearby?
Barnard. Yeah.
Yeah, and they go across this little ferry thing in boats and deface the thing, and then
and then
Columbia's got to like sort of paint it back. Or,
oh, man.
But I mean, Columbia, it's Ivy League, hey?
Look at you.
That's amazing.
Oh, God, Russell.
But that's amazing just to get that chance to be around those minds because you know, we're very quick to laugh at the Americans and, you know, and a large portion of the American population is stupid and racist, but what it's carried by is very, very, very smart, very hardworking people. That's what's made it the economy that it is.
Mm.
So to be around them, I think, must have been a privilege, eh?
Yeah,
and a real treat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it was an invaluable experience for me, and I think what the most important lesson that I learned is we are those minds that need to be there, you know, because.
Yeah.
As Africans, particularly, we have a very specific value and knowledge that we have to add to society.
And did you feel like that was appreciated in those classrooms?
I mean, if I'm honest, very much so, because right now in the world, like, everyone's crying for diversity.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And everyone understands now that there isn't one way to do things, like, especially with like innovation and disruption in so many different industries. Everybody's looking for people who think differently.
But the authenticity of that, you know?
Yeah.
I feel like, how old are you now, if you don't mind me asking?
I am giving away my age. I'm 34.
34. Okay. But you're on the young side of the 30s. I'm at the tail end of the 30s. But my film school at WITS was constantly us commenting and criticizing how the right people weren't in the right roles or the right people weren't directing.
Mm.
And I feel like what's really good about today is those big productions have got the right people behind them now to some large degree.
Yeah.
You know, I just think of something like Turning Red, you know, a Pixar film about Asian community.
Mm.
And of course there's an Asian female that is the director. You can't not have that.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't get away with it. You
exactly.
know? And it's done, and it's been done so well.
Exactly.
You know, the black directors are doing the Black Panthers, and
exactly.
they could never have done it.
Mm.
They could never have not done it.
Mm.
Where I feel like in my sort of early formative film school era, it was a white guy.
Yeah, and from a very specific place. You know what I mean? All from the exact same background, all from the exact same schools, all from, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's, so it starts there where it's like, okay, if the Ivies are all people from the same schools, they're going to get the jobs. Yeah. You know what I mean? And then they're going to make all the decisions, not just in film, across industries, you know? So having diversity at that level means that it seeps into every industry. And realistically, that's why we're getting interesting content now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? No, look at, you know, Squid Games, all of that. That wouldn't have happened if people weren't being given that opportunity.
Yeah.
And people are realizing that, wow, there is actually other stories that are interesting that aren't like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, totally.
And no hate to Tom Cruise. Like,
no, of course.
He's excellent at what he does, you know?
We just all have to.
But whilst we're not watching him, you know, we'd like to be watching something else that's different, showing us a world that we didn't know about. Like, I think that's what really captivates people, you know, being taken, like that's what movies and TV is about, like escapism, you know, going into a world that you never would have imagined existed, you know, and then experiencing the emotions with those characters, you know, if it's done really well, it's like you can identify with this character because you know them so well. But it's also just an introduction to like an incredible world, you know,
and what the hopes and dreams are of a, you know, real estate hustler in Pretoria, because I don't know what that would be like, but you know, but then there would hopefully be some good, strong human elements about, you know, wanting to survive, wanting to succeed, wanting to, you know, aspiring to grow your business.
Exactly.
Which we can all relate to.
Exactly.
What are some of the other stuff that you've done?
So some of the other stuff we've done, my film, It Takes a Circus, the one that's screened here at the Bioscope.
It Takes a Circus. Yeah.
Yeah. So kind of based on, you see a little bit of the African vibe, you know, It Takes a Village. So It Takes a Circus was my first, directing debut. And it did really well.
Short or feature?
It was a short.
Okay. And you made that when you were in Colombia?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we shot that in New York, and it was nominated for a student Oscar.
Lovely.
Screened at Doc NYC, won multiple awards across festivals, so that did really well.
It made it to nominee for student Oscar.
Yeah.
That's so good.
Yeah. I mean, we wanted to win.
No, of course. But I mean, it just, you know, we can all submit our film for consideration.
Yeah.
But to, and then what's interesting, which obviously a lot of folks don't know, is you make a shortlist, which is always quite exciting to know that you're in the running to be a nominee. There is that little period before.
Yeah.
And then what, of course, the public then know is who the nominees are. So it was lovely that you were a nominee.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And I just said to myself, you know, if you're a nominee, if you got this close once,
yeah,
it means we need to get back there very soon.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And when was that?
That was 2021, I want to say. COVID has just got my brain all muddled.
No, me too. It's a mess.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was recent.
Yeah.
Okay. And then now this is the first feature.
Yeah.
Since that.
Yeah. So we've, as a collective, Totem Zia, that's the name of our company, with myself and Ria Moetivolt, who's my business partner.
What's the company called?
Totem Zia.
Totem Zia.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where did you get that name?
So totem, very African. You know what a totem is.
Sure,
You know, it's kind of like a tribe or a clan of people who are from different families but are joined by something, you know.
Okay.
So it's a totem. And then Zia is myself and her name. So Zoe and Ria.
Okay.
Lots of people end up confusing us. And like someone,
there's
like
twice.
There's
another one. Like,
Like exactly. Like,
what did you call them?
Alicia.
Alicia.
Exactly. So totem Zia.
But the other years of your life before you found your passion, you were a lawyer.
Yes. So, yeah.
Okay.
Studied at Vits, just up the road. Yeah.
Shout out to Vits. I was also a Vitsy.
Exactly, Vitsies. We got the edge.
We do. That's the slogan.
Look at us. Yeah, so that's what I studied.
What kind of law?
So you don't really specialize in your undergrad. So it was an LLB. I did a BA law. And whilst I was studying at WITS, by my third year, I kind of knew I didn't want to practice.
Yeah.
But I wasn't yet sure what I wanted to do. And my parents kind of said, no, you know, stick it out with law, because whatever field you go into,
you're always going to need that brain. Eh?
Exactly. Yeah. So
it's a very particular way of looking at the world.
Very, you know? Very. So I don't regret that at all. But already by my third year, I was kind of like exploring to figure out what I wanted to do. Did an internship at Good Morning Africa, kind of just figuring out like, oh, okay, there's people behind the camera, you know, because whether like it sounds kind of like, you know, insane, but I literally didn't know anything.
It's a big part of it. And that was also my thing at film school, was going, okay, the, you know, the gold standard or what everyone wishes to be is the next Tarantino. We're all looking at the director seat, but there are other jobs in there. And
so many.
You know, you can imagine my realization going, what's the point in all of us making movies if there's no place to show it?
Exactly.
So we don't have an independent cinema space in one of the biggest cities in Africa. It's not like, like we were living in Nelspruit going like, I think we should give it a try. It was like, why is there not an indie cinema in Joburg? And we could do it if we pull this off. Like we could do it.
Yeah, yeah. And you've done it.
Thanks. But yeah, we were having this discussion on the video store the other day with Denim Richards, the very interesting dude, American guy who is in Yellowstone, you know,
fantastic.
This huge show, has found some roots in Southern Africa and is spending all his time just trying to break open the industry for people to have you understand. Mm. And he raised a great point. He said, you know, it does employ everyone. It employs lawyers.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, the contract law is very important.
Yeah.
Making sure that actors are signed in correctly. And you know, to have you, you know, be a part of, you know, you're directing and you're producing, but you've got this brain that can, you know, make sure the contracts are right.
Yeah, I mean, contracting, you know, one thing is contracting with your crews, you know, but also contracting is really critical when you're negotiating your deals with platforms, with the streamers, with the broadcasters and all of that, because...
And they must know you're a lawyer going into it.
Hey, listen.
Or do you want to Columbo it? Do you remember that there was a detective called Columbo? It was a TV show where he pretended to be a bit stupid. But he got away with, because people underestimated him.
Listen, Russell, I don't have to pretend. Like, look at me. Like, people look and they're like, yeah, she doesn't know much. Like,
really? Do you feel underestimated?
I mean, look, it is one of these things, like, you're a young black girl and you look relatively young. You know what I mean? Yeah. A lot of people kind of like they don't see you coming, you know?
Okay.
And
but listen, I think that's the secret weapon.
To be honest, I'm just like, listen, at your own peril.
Yeah.
You know? But yeah, so... Between after WITS, what I did is I co-founded a women in film organization, SWIFT.
We've done
a lot of work. Yeah, so that's why I'm like, I know the space very well.
Sometimes, sorry, I don't always, you know, can
no, yeah,
you know, join
different
the dots.
People from
because there were quite a few people involved in SWIFT.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What does that stand for?
Sisters Working in Film and Television.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what is that all about?
So it's basically a women in film organization. They had been a couple in the industry over the years.
Yeah, there's also one called Girls in Film.
There's Girls in Film, exactly. And previously they'd been women's organizations that had kind of come together and then not kind of been sustained.
Yeah.
So when we co-founded it in 2016, it just came from, you know, women needing a space to just speak, you know, about... whatever it is that are their issues and to be able to be heard, you know, and not kind of be talking about it in your office and people like, you know, it's that thing again.
And how does it present itself? In sort of meetups?
So multiple meetups. And just to give context, when we were setting it up, we were thinking, oh, okay, let's, you know, see what, like maybe, you know, advocate for equal pay or something like that. But obviously the biggest thing that came out was that women in the industry just didn't feel safe. You know, and
just
this was
as literal as that.
It was like, you know, you're also like, what do you mean? Like, and it's like, yeah, when I go on set, I literally don't feel safe, you know, and that's where the stories about all the sexual harassment, all the different things that happen in our industry started just pouring out. And if I'm honest, Russell, we never expected that.
Be honest,
you know? Like, you know what I mean? It was one of those really unexpected things, but we had to address that issue. That was the first thing we had to address.
Amazing.
When that happened, next thing, Me Too blew up. And so that's how Swift really
You can see
just,
how that was just a pot that was bubbling.
Exactly, yeah.
And just with everyone having a voice or having voices grow, you know, through all the social media that we've had for so long, it was about time that pressure cooker just burst where people could feel confident enough to share.
Yeah.
But if you were starting this as early as 2016, but then you only then studied film later.
Yeah.
Okay, so you had your head in the film industry, you know, before you were studying it.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you were you being a lawyer at this point?
Yeah, Russell, I was like figuring it out.
But
hey?
You had your one foot in this other industry that you wanted to spend more time in.
Exactly. So I was working in the legal field, and I started up my production company. So I shot my first project. It was called My Perfect Date. It was a reality cooking show. And so that I licensed that, but I was mostly working with Swift. So I was kind of doing three things.
Okay. You were never going to be a lawyer.
That was never going to happen.
Yeah, I kind of knew
your
heart
third
was in all this other stuff. So it's so lovely that this is what you get to do full time now, right?
Yeah. And if I'm honest, it was a money issue. I had to work in the legal field because I needed, like, people got to eat, you know?
Yeah,
I was like, I'm not trying to be a starving artist. That's the not sexy part of the industry, you know?
How was Columbia possible? Did you get bursaries and stuff?
So it's an incredible story where I can just say, if I'm honest, it's the grace of God.
Yeah.
They gave me a full ride.
Yeah, good.
Which was... And like,
good for them.
Yeah, literally.
Yeah,
when
good for them, because that's how they get the diversity in the classes, and that's how they get the right brains sitting in the room. So, what a treat, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because even with all the money in the world, that gets ridiculous. Eh?
Yeah, like people literally with, like, I mean, you saw the documentary about, you know, how very wealthy people in the US, in Asia, like try and bribe to get their kids into schools and pay. But like the Ivies are hardcore. Like they're very specific about who they're taking.
Oh, that's good.
So yeah, it was really a grace thing, because even when I got there, I remember walking in to the admissions office and the guy's like typing my name, and he looks and he's like, he like whistled. I can't whistle.
Yeah.
He whistles. He's like, full ride, girl. He's like, we don't see any of this these days. So I was just like, I don't know, you know.
You must have made a good case. You had to do what? Submission essays and all sorts, hey?
Yeah, so we did it's quite an intense submission process. So essays, and then they do like a live which was kind of like exam vibes, and then like they're watching you on a webcam. So they ask you like immediate questions and they like ask you to answer.
Oh,
and
lovely.
So it's kind of like a psych test.
You must have just presented yourself well.
I guess so, Russell. No,
certainly. Where did we grow up?
In Harare, Zimbabwe.
Hey, interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
Because
there was a good time in Harare.
Yeah, yeah.
Which might have been your childhood.
Yeah, yeah.
Start of Mugabe wasn't bad, right?
Very good. Very
good.
Hey,
he was a hero.
He really was.
Yeah. And really set some good foundations.
Yeah, yeah. And
he then went a little crazy.
How do you
sort of see it? I mean, he sort of lost his mind by the end, but he was off to a great start.
Oh my goodness. I don't know if I'd say he'd lost his mind. I feel like it's that saying about, you know, each person has two sides to them. Like there's no one person who's continuously one thing.
Yeah, sure.
And so all of us have, like, if anyone's life is looked at, like, there's the side of you that is the hero and there's the side of you that's the villain.
Yeah.
There's no one perfect. Okay. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And so I feel that, you know, for me, what we're talking about, my ability, like you're saying, to present well and get into an Ivy League school comes from the basis of the fact that I had an incredible education.
Yeah. The education system in Zim was really good.
Yeah. Yeah. And so there's obviously the good and the bad. I mean, in South Africa, we've got the good and the bad.
Of course.
In the US, we've got the good and the very bad.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Sure.
So every country has like...
But growing up, was there any kind of film memories? Or what is a film that comes to you quite early on?
I mean, The Lion King, obviously.
Okay. It's such a common denominator on the show. It's lovely.
I like literally know all the words. It's very problematic.
It's magical. So like, did that plant any kind of seeds in you when you were a little kid? Did you start thinking about cinema really young?
If I'm honest, Russell, I didn't.
You just loved it.
I loved
it was
watching
just a great movie.
Yeah, I used to love watching The Lion, everything Disney, to be honest, sure. But The Lion King, Aladdin was a little bit scary to me.
Yeah,
you know, like when the too. Genie would come out, like, I'm the greatest genie in the world. Like, you know what I mean? Like, but I loved Sinbad. You know, we used to watch Sinbad, you know, the tales, like the TV show.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I never, like I said, I literally realized when I did that internship, like, that this is a career.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. I didn't have that exposure, let's call it that, to could actually work in this
Did you
field.
Go into cinemas in Harare? Were
there any decent
cinemas?
Yeah. There's definitely good cinemas. I remember my first experience was Finding Nemo, I think.
Okay.
Like, so it was someone's birthday. We all went to the cinema. Or was it Ants? No, Finding Nemo is like, it was like Ants.
Mm.
What was the one around, like, early days?
Well, there was Ants and Bug Life and A Bug's Life came out at the same time. Ants was the slightly more adulty one. It was a Woody Allen film, where Bug's Life was the Pixar one.
That's the one. A Bug's Life. I remember that one and being like, oh my gosh. Like, walking out of the cinema with this, like, fuzzy feeling that, you know, you're like, hey, what is this feeling? You know what I mean? It's like, I feel so good. Like, I want to do that again. Yeah, yeah.
Okay. High school, also in Zim?
Yeah. So I went to a school called Chisapiti, then St. John's College, which is the brother school to the St. John's College here.
Okay, so I know there's a St. John's. It's a girl school, hey?
It's a boys' school. And
there's a St. John's that's a boys' school in Joburg.
Yes, and that's the brother school. They just took 10 girls every year for a special program called the IB program.
Oh, look at you.
So I usually say to people, like, oh, I went to St. John's, and then people look at me like,
what?
Like, and I'm like, yeah, it's an all-boys' school. And they're like, and I let them wait. Like, and then I'm like, no, it's just jokes. They took 10 girls every year.
But where were you? In Zim?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. Because there is a St. John's that's a girls' school in Durban, I think.
Okay.
I forget. John's involved.
Okay.
Okay. And then over in high school, so this is an all girls' school, but just 10 of you.
All boys' school, but just 10 girls.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's what I mean. Sorry.
No. Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
I know.
So were you taught with other boys in the class?
Yeah.
Okay, so it actually became this nice co-ed.
Yeah, so, but we were treated like absolute, like, you know, when you'd walk on the corridor, you know, like, boys' school have all this etiquette and all of that.
Mm.
So literally, if there's only 10 of us, right? So if I was walking along the corridor, all the boys had to, like, step off and, drop their hats and, morning, ma'am. So literally, like, it was like an insane experience, like, but it made sense because there was only 10 of us. So, but they'd all have to, like, stand still until you've walked past. And morning, ma'am. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool experience.
Jeez. What films came to you around high school?
High school.
Because the high school crush film, because we've got the four great loves at the video store, which is your puppy love.
Okay.
Which we're going to probably put to A Bug's Life.
Okay, yeah.
Then your high school crush is perhaps sometimes a little more diverse, a little more interesting. Perhaps you're exploring a bit. Because that's what happens in high school. You figure some things out.
I'm trying to think of what age it was that I started to love The Count of Monte Cristo.
Okay.
Have you watched that one?
No. I know the story.
Yeah. Okay. So it's just basically about a guy who gets punked out by his friend. Like, he's a really nice guy, gets punked out by his friend.
What do you mean by punked out?
His friend is wealthier than him and is jealous that he kind of is getting everything, the girl, he's getting a promotion and all of that stuff. And then, he sells him out and he gets put in jail. And this friend of his basically then gets to take his wife and live this life that he should have.
It's a period film.
It's a period film. It's set around like Napoleon's time. So it's got a little bit of history. I'm a history buff, like obsessed with history. Like, so it's got that, like, seated in that, that revolution, the French Revolution.
Okay.
But basically when he comes back, like he managed to train and all of that stuff whilst he's in prison. And when he gets out, like, one of the other prisoners tells him where there's like a trove of treasure.
Okay.
And so obviously he comes back mad rich, fam.
Okay.
Mad rich, and like then takes revenge on all his enemies.
Lovely. A good revenge film. It's one of the more underrated.
I literally always think that everyone's watched it because I've watched it like 1,000 times.
Who's in it?
Oh my gosh.
I feel like some hunky men are in it.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I'm blanking. I'm blanking, guys.
No, no, no.
I'm
okay,
so
I'll
yeah.
look it up in the meantime. Okay. And then after high school?
Gladiator.
Gladiator. Okay. This is our It's Getting Serious film. Which is when life gets a bit more serious.
Mm.
So at this point, we're now at Wits, hey? So you make the move.
Yeah, yeah. I would say
that. Do you come on your own? Is family still in Zim?
So most of my family's, half of my family's in Zim. The other half is here in South Africa. Then the rest are scattered across the globe, like in the US, okay. the UK, Canada, Cyprus, Dubai, like, yeah. So everyone's kind of in different places.
Is mom and dad still around?
My mom's actually here. She's just up the road.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, now I see Jim Caviezel.
Yes.
The guy who played Jesus.
Yeah.
We all know him as Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And Guy Pearce.
Mm.
He's the Australian actor. Those are the standout people who were in The Count of Monte Cristo.
Mm.
2002. I'm trying to think, what was 2002? Where were you for the millennium in your life?
I was probably like 10.
Yeah, okay. No, so then this is kind of high school.
Yeah.
Because it's just after...
Yeah, I probably 12, watched 13, it. You know, video probably, store vibes?
Yeah, exactly. Okay, no, so then this came in high school. So it's your high school crush. Mm. It looks like there's a little bit of love affair in it.
Mm.
There's some...
I think it spoke to the, like, the you know how you're always taught to be like this gracious person and turn the other cheek, because I'm a Christian, right? So turn the other cheek. So I kind of liked that this guy was like, nah, fam, I'm not turning the other cheek.
Just a good old revenge.
Yeah, he's like, I'm coming for you.
There's been a lot of revenge movies this year, funny enough. Monkey Man.
Yes, I just watched it.
A very strong, powerful one.
Yeah.
Obviously set in India.
Yeah.
With the caste system. And there's one man that just wants to topple it all. The Beekeeper was a big
I
one this
that.
Year.
Yeah.
With Jason Statham just fucking his way up to the top.
He just does what he does, right? Yeah. Like, and you don't expect anything else from him.
Yeah.
You go in, you sit in that chair in the cinema and you're like, you do your thing.
Yeah, and you take great joy in watching him beat everybody up.
Yeah.
Okay, so Wits, you came here. Were you on your own? Did you come to Joburg on your own?
Yeah, pretty much. I came on my own, but I've got family here, so.
Okay, did you stay with them?
I stayed on my own, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
How was Joburg for you?
Joburg was exciting. It's a city that, like, I've loved and, you know, because obviously would come up and down all throughout, like, from growing up and all of that.
Mm.
And... yeah, I think it gave me exactly what I needed. It had the lights, you know?
Yeah.
Party lights,
yeah.
You know, excitement, bigger city, you know what I mean?
It opened up, you know, all parts of the city to me, like being at Wits, having my own car,
yes,
being able to travel around.
Yeah.
Finding my tribe. I grew up in the northern suburbs, which is quite like booty jock vibe, but it's certainly not the cultural center of Joburg, you know, four ways. It's all very, very new and rather doof. So for me, like, to come to Varsity and then discover, like, that there's nightclubs that play rock music was like a whole thing for me.
Yeah.
You know, or discovering Melville.
Exactly.
Where was your place?
I stayed literally right opposite on Jutta Street. So right opposite Wits.
Cool.
Like, so I could walk out of those, I forget what the doors are called, but like it was two streets down. But like when my dad would visit, he would be so paranoid. Like he'd be like, so you like just live here? And I'm like, yeah, I've been living here, because he like visited like after 6 months. And he was, after I walked him out, like he kept saying, oh, you know, like, let me just walk you back to your... I'm like, listen, I live here. Like, no one's
I'm okay
like...
with it.
Yeah, like, because it does have that, like, roughish edge, but it's like, you kind of have to know the spots. Like, don't walk down the street, because that's where it's a little bit rough.
It's all about knowing. Because if you don't know, and if you sort of act like you don't belong, you could be targeted.
Yeah, yeah.
Did Zim feel safe for you as a kid growing up? Was it a safe space?
Very. Like, you could... like, the first time I... understood what it felt like to constantly be in danger as being in Joburg, if I'm honest, you know what I mean?
Sure.
Because it's, and I still, like, when people say it to me, like, Joburg is dangerous, when I lived here, I didn't feel it. But I now, like, when you look back, there is stories of so many very violent things that happen, you know? And it's just kind of like, it's grace or whatever it is that you, it doesn't happen to you, but you know people that it's happened to. Sure, and it's not like a person, you know?
No, totally. Where's home now?
Cape Town.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So what's brought you up here now?
To do the launch.
So last
and then
night
we had
the screening for the Real Estate Sisters.
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and how did it go last night?
Oh, it was fantastic. Like, so this was, we've been really privileged to be able to take the film, you know, on a long journey. So we screened at a number of festivals in LA, in Toronto, in Denton, in the US, and then basically we had our first like African launch at the Joburg Film Festival.
Okay.
And so that was where it was like we saw it with an audience, with a local audience.
That was now at the start of this year.
Exactly. Yeah. It was fantastic. Like, because it's a comedy. Yeah. You know, you always wonder like, are people going to get it? You know, like, then like, but it was like raucous. Like people were unruly, hey? You know?
That's good, man.
And it's like funny, but it's like people were laughing at places that weren't even, like we were like, oh. People receive it
Comedy is very hard to get on film because especially you as the director or the editor or the person who wrote it, like, you know, you've stopped finding that joke funny a very long time ago. People forget this.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so it's quite hard for you to be objective in these moments, to edit it in the best way or to find it as funny because you know the punchline's coming.
Yeah, yeah,
You really, like stand-up comedy, you need to do it in front of people.
Yeah, yeah.
And perhaps some of those test screenings could even result in some changes for films because you know, like,
you know what lands.
You actually didn't get that joke.
Jeez, yeah.
Why didn't that joke land? It should have.
Yeah.
Maybe there's an edit to it.
Yeah.
How was the humor in the film received overseas?
So we...
Were you able to get to some of those screens?
Yeah. So the last one that we did was in New York, which was fantastic, with the support of the South African Consulate General. The Empire State Building did an incredible shoot for us, like to announce coming to Netflix. Like it was...
What?
I know.
Explain that?
I know.
Empire State Building did what?
They supported us. They sponsored us to do a huge photo shoot on the top of the building to announce that our film was coming to Netflix. Yeah.
They allowed you to be up there to take a photo, to take photos.
Yeah, so they did. They have a whole experience that they curate. So I think if you see on their page, like Taylor Swift was like the last person who did that experience. So they have
what
like
is
a
that
little
experience. Well, I've been up the Empire State a few times.
Yeah. So basically what they do is it's like, I don't know what they call it, but they select people who
are deserving to sort of have the space.
Yeah, so they take you through, you know, they've got like a very nice back room where you get dressed. So we had like a designer dress us and all of that.
Oh, special.
And then they walk you through this, like they give you a private tour, like you see all the images of the other people who've done this tour. And then they take you, like, it's really like...
And then obviously the whole, the thing is that they then have given you the space to take a photo, to take a very particular kind of photo.
Exactly.
Shoot a kind of thing, which is then up to you, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then it's up to you as to how much you capitalize on this moment. But they offer the space.
Exactly.
And they obviously don't offer it to everyone.
Yeah, yeah. So it was very beautiful. Then the New York Film Academy also came on board as a great partner. So that's where we did the screening. Like you're saying, the audience, that one I was
two real estate characters from Pretoria are sort of getting this Empire State treatment.
Yeah, it was absolutely insane. Like, and you know, the one thing,
you know, it's one thing if you'd made like The Woman King.
you know,
like,
what I mean?
You know, this like epic thing. Yeah, but I'm saying this in such a good way. Like, it's just such a treat that you got given this platform.
It was a lot of hard work, if I'm honest, because none of these things were handed to us, you know.
Yeah.
And as a producer, it's one of those things where you can have a film and be like, I'm done, you know, like, oh, I've created the film and put it on the platform.
I think you having spent that time in Colombia, having been in those rooms, you were aware that those rooms exist. You know, it's like the greatest treat you can ever give anyone, especially someone in a more slightly more isolated country like South Africa. You only when you travel do you realize how much we are at the tip of this continent that's far away from, you know, epicenters like Europe and the States.
Mm.
That just giving someone the opportunity to crack open their sort of shell, shatter the glass ceilings,
yeah.
figuratively speaking.
Yeah.
And being able to see those other rooms, those other places, those other cities where yeah. you get to walk the streets of New York. How long was the degree or the...
Oh, yeah. I was there 18 months. The degree was much shorter. Treat.
But the fact that you get to just walk those streets of New York,
yeah.
they're inspiring streets. Eh?
Listen, like when Jay-Z sings that song with Alicia Keys,
no,
like it's true.
I've been lucky enough to go to New York probably sort of 6 or 7 times. And it's like every time I'm there, you just feel it. It feels like I just step into a frequency.
That's exactly it.
That I just love. I'm like, it's a pace I love. It's a vibe I love.
You want to be your best self there, right? Mm. It's like when you're there, you all of a sudden, like you said, a frequency yeah. where you're like, I'm operating at this level,
yeah.
but I can be operating at such a high level. And
yeah.
you can, it's like you all of a sudden see all the things that you can possibly do.
And that economy, it's the economy of scale.
Yeah.
So like as a small business, for example, the Bioscope, I remember looking at something as silly as Duane Reade,
yes.
okay, which is their pharmacy.
Mm,
it's their version of Clicks or
Dis-Chem.
And it's on every street corner. And I remember thinking, whoever owns Dis-Chem in South Africa or Clicks has probably got a nice house at the coast, does very well for himself.
Mm.
Whoever owns Duane Reade
is eating up
it's
the
like,
world.
That's like silly money,
yeah,
right? That's
yeah,
like...
yeah.
That's like that's like private helicopter money.
Yeah. And you
only see that when you're in a place like New York.
And you only
like
understand it.
Possibilities
exactly.
Are huge.
When it's like we've got like 4 or 5 major banks, right? And we all know them.
Yeah.
They're like, what
there's
do you mean?
There's 4 or 5 major banks in New York alone.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And like globally, across the country, yeah. they've got like 20 banks that yeah. have like thriving customer bases. Like
yeah.
The choices are like endless, no, you know no, what I mean? And the no. possibilities are endless.
So that's so
yeah.
lovely that you were able to realize these things for your film. I think that's so special.
Yeah. If I'm honest, one of the other things was like when I was leaving, a lot of people were obviously like, oh, you know, you're riding off of the high of the student Oscar nomination, you should stay, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
If you go back home, things aren't like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, what's going to happen in Africa? You know, Africa, that's what it's called, right? In Africa. So it's like, I was like, no, but I'm from here, you know? And if we can't make it from where we're from,
yeah.
telling our stories, yeah. then it's like, it's kind of pointless. Like, why are we in this industry if you're going to go and tell other people's stories, you know? Yeah.
You want to take that experience and come back.
Exactly.
My fiance did her MBA in New York.
Oh, nice.
And also had some things lined up and chose to come back.
Yeah, yeah.
And wanted to be with family, wanted to be in South Africa, wanted to make a difference here.
Mm.
I very much get that.
Yeah, and these days we're living in a global community. So just, you know, coming back here, me and my business partner got a Netflix film. And yeah. it's screening in New York. Like, so
yeah.
it's like,
so I'm going to come back.
Yeah. It's yeah, like, yeah. you don't have to be physically elsewhere and yeah. to look down on where you're from
yeah.
in order to, you know what I mean? Achieve yeah. the success and the height of success that you want, you know?
What was the film that came to you in your varsity? Because you were obviously doing a film degree or a film course.
Okay.
Was there anything that blew your mind?
So that would be like very recently.
Sure,
like, so
sure.
I'm thinking.
But I just, you know, that's a space where you were, I would imagine, shown films.
Mm.
And you watched a lot.
Mm. I mean, I loved, I'm forgetting the title of the
that's
film.
Okay. Yeah.
It's on AOC, you know, the candidate that,
yeah.
like, how, what's
Cortez,
name? Cortez, yeah.
yeah.
I think it's called Runs the House.
Okay. A documentary.
It's a documentary and it's just about her journey, like from, you know, okay. being a regular, like she worked in a store.
She's
like
a real New Yorker.
Yeah. And like literally yeah. like just any, she could be anyone.
She was, yeah. And she's capitalized on that in a good way. She's she's like, I was the waitress or the
exactly. manager. I'm you.
Yeah. yeah. yeah.
So that film
Runs
really,
the House.
I think it's called Runs the House or
okay, yeah.
Yeah. And so that film really inspired me, especially because I think it broke numbers at the box office. I can't remember. They got an insane Netflix deal. And for me, that's where I was like, if you create value, it doesn't matter what genre, what format you're working in, like people will recognize that and pay you for it, you know, because okay. everyone was talking about the number. You know, the number that they were offered for this documentary. And they had a Q&A and everything, and you can see it's just about like self-belief and creating good value in whatever story that you're telling. And then the market will respond, you know?
Oh, it's called Knock Down the House.
That's the one. That's the one. Knock Down the House. Yeah.
Okay, lovely.
So it was really...
It's on Netflix.
Yeah, yeah. So they got an insane deal with Netflix. The numbers were insane. And, you know, as a producer, as someone who is not trying to be a broke, starving artist, yeah. I was like...
That's inspiring.
Yeah, to be able to see, like, quality. Because, you know, documentary is always kind of... You know, the stepchild of film. You know what I mean?
Where I people, know what you mean. Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
So that was really, really great. Another film that wasn't whilst I was in film school, which literally just did things, was A Promising Young Woman.
Okay.
Have you watched it?
I know of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Why was that important to you?
It was... So Margot Robbie has this production company, and... Like, firstly, I'm really inspired by, you know, what the kind of films that they make, you know. So they did Barbie.
Yeah.
But like A Promising Young Woman was, I think, their debut feature. Just the kind of films that those guys are making. I think their company's called Lucky Chap are fantastic. So A Promising Young Woman is very much, it's like a story.
2020.
Yeah. So I think I was still in college.
Carey Mulligan.
Yeah.
I know of it. Yeah. Alison Brie.
I watched it, and it was COVID times when, you know, the cinemas had just kind of-ish opened up.
Oh, Emerald.
So we were, like, empty.
Yeah. The director, sorry, is a woman called Emerald. Mm. Emerald Fennell. Mm. Fennell. She made Saltburn.
Yeah, yeah. So they find, these guys find incredible female directors.
Yeah.
They, like, they're putting girls
She's interesting. Emerald is interesting. Because Saltburn took... Everyone by surprise.
I haven't watched Saltburn, ruin it for me.
No, I won't. It's arty and weird. It's lovely, very very beautiful. Nice twists and turns. But it was a very much an art house film in the fact that it's quite boundary pushing. It's got these kind of crazy moments that once you've seen it, you can't forget that got put on film.
Mm.
But it was on a major platform, so it was on Amazon, and so it took a lot of people by surprise. So it caught people that wouldn't have normally watched it if it was in Sundance and if it was in Criterion Collection, the film snobs would have watched it.
Yeah, yeah.
But here we had everyday people going, oh my God, have you seen Saltburn? Because once you see it, you go, sure, it's weird, but I can't forget it.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's the film you're going to rent today.
Okay.
You're going to rent Saltburn.
All right.
Because it's on Amazon Prime.
Okay.
I'm lack of weird.
Yeah.
Lack of weird.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But you'd appreciate it.
Okay.
Because it's made by a filmmaker that you admire.
Yeah.
So what was Promising Young Woman about?
I don't want to explain it because then it just diminishes it. It's so good.
Okay. Like, but what did you love about it?
Just pushing boundaries, so similar to what you were saying about, and just unexpected.
Okay.
You know, when you're like, okay, I'm watching this, and you're like, okay, I think I know. You know, sometimes as a filmmaker, you're looking at the bones of the thing. Okay, this is, this is act one.
How is it put together?
Yeah, this is act one. Oh, okay, this is her, you're doing some exposition here. Like, you know, I was completely, I couldn't figure out what was good. And then my brain just switched off and I was watching.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Lovely.
And films that do that. And then I was shocked each time.
Yeah.
You know, because sometimes now with the, you know, proliferation of like content, you kind of, there's a rhythm. Okay, this is going to happen. And then that's going to happen.
Sometimes that's a good thing because then there's a confidence in that you're holding my hand and I feel safe to go with you in this journey. Or I'm familiar with this journey, so I'm happy.
Yeah.
But it's all about the confidence so that if you are going to change it up, and if you are going to do something interesting and you are going to throw the rug out, you're holding my hand. So it's a thrill ride that I'm happy to be on.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you got to know who's who, why they're doing it. You know, there's just confidence as a filmmaker to hold your hand. I always think of a movie, you know.
Holding your hand.
Is it holding my hand? And it can be wild. Hey? It can be crazy violent, or it can be complete twists and turns, or it could be completely fantastical. But am I comfortable here?
Do you know what's going on?
Yeah, or am I going like, why are we doing this?
Mm.
This is going on for too long.
Mm.
Who's that guy now?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Why would anyone do that? Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah.
So it's like...
So it's good, unexpected in a very good way.
Okay.
You know?
Our last film, which just helps sort of guide sort of close out our chat, is a film that you could settle down with. a film that's kind of always been there for you. Your relationship to it is it's as if you, it's something you could have married, you could marry.
Mm.
Are you currently married?
Yes.
Lovely.
I've been married for 9 years now.
What's a film that's kind of always been there? It could be The Lion King. Do you know what I mean?
I was going to say, okay, I don't know where this goes in the thing, but I was going to say, I think my settled down film, if I'm honest, it's actually really sad. Like in uni, like I would watch, like every other night, I would watch Gladiator.
Which Gladiator? No, let it be Gladiator.
But I want to just put another one then.
Okay.
Like the Lord of the Rings, the entire...
All three?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's up there.
Okay. Little geeky.
Listen, I read the Hobbit when I was, I think I was 11. Because my brother is like 6 years older than me. So he was reading it for school, for high school. Yeah. And I stole his book. You know, when you're a kid, like your brother's like, don't touch my stuff. You know? Yeah. So you're like, I want to touch his stuff.
I want to touch that. Yeah.
So
the Hobbit.
Fell in love with that. And so when the movies came out, of course I was obsessed. You know?
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. So I don't know where that fits
in. No, totally. No, that's the one that can kind of always be there for you. Gladiator's interesting. I remember Gladiator was a very visceral hatred for Joaquin Phoenix's character. Mm. You really wanted to just jump in there and fucking put a sword through his heart.
Mm. Mm.
Have you been to Rome?
I haven't. Okay. I actually haven't.
Yeah. I'm about to go back with my family. I went when I was a kid.
Oh, nice.
And we're going to go back to take my niece and nephew.
To see the Colosseum and everything.
So you got to see the Colosseum. You got to see the Roman Forum. And and we're about to go on holiday now as a family.
Mm.
And I am going to force them, and I think they'll enjoy it if they haven't seen it. I don't think they have. But I'm going to force them to watch Gladiator. Because I want them to see that Colosseum.
I want them to feel
Rome.
Yeah.
So that when they go there in what'll then be August,
you can
get a sense of it. And Gladiator really did that. Do you know that they're making a sequel?
I heard.
Gladiator 2 is in the works.
I heard, and I just don't know.
Russell Crowe's not the valiant soldier.
Yeah, he's like, he's not involved. I'm anxious.
It's a weird one.
I'm anxious.
But never have we wanted vengeance more. Listen, of the vengeance film.
It's coming out. I think him. I have a problem.
Love you. No, but it's a great film. And of course, Lord of the Rings is always there. There's going to be another Lord of the Rings film at the end of this year.
Fantastic.
They're not talking too much about it just yet, but it'll start bubbling up soon. I think it's in the world of Lord of the Rings.
Yes.
I'm not sure where or how they're doing it, but it's an official film that's going to be a film. It's the battle of something something or the army of something.
Listen, like I've read, I won't say all of Tolkien's books, but
through the Silmarillion?
Like most of them, all the different, there's so many spin-offs, and I think that's what I love particularly about, I love.
Did you do Rings of Power, the Amazon show?
Yes, I did watch it.
Okay, did you like it?
I mean, I was watching House of Dragons around the same time. So unfortunately, I couldn't help comparing.
The two got a bit
compared. And so because of my innate love for Lord of the Rings, Rings of Power, that whole world, the series is, and the thing is never as good as the book.
Yeah.
Look, I'm anxious as if I'm speaking about someone I love.
That's lovely. That's the point, though.
I would give it, I would say I was satisfied.
Okay. Yes. That's a good way to put it.
Yes.
Lovely, man. But I'm excited for this film. Obviously, we're chatting on the cusp of it being released. But I'm sure that by the time this episode comes out, it'll be all over everyone's Netflixes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's going to be lovely. So I appreciate you making the time now.
Noah,
I'm so happy that you found your passion.
Yes.
And that you're not stuck behind a mountain of court docs.
Listen, that easily could have been me, hey? And I would have been a very unhappy human being.
You clearly, were destined for this. And it sounds like, you really have this incredible knowledge and brain that can just add so much value to what we do here. So and it's lovely to have you in the world.
Thank you.
And in our cinema world.
I was going to say, and it's lovely to have spaces like the Bioscope. I was just saying outside that, you know, especially now with all this news of 9 cinemas closing down and all of that, spaces like this are like super sacred where filmmakers can know. Yeah. That there's consistently going to be a place that is riding for them.
Yeah,
you know?
Unfortunately, when that news came out, to the person who's not quite concentrating or reading the full article, people could think cinema's dead, but it's certainly not.
Yeah,
I mean, that kind of cinema, the shopping mall cinema, needed to be downsized.
Mm.
Unfortunately, I wish it didn't, but it did. The two Gauteng sites that were part of those 9 that are being closed. I mean, the one of them was Cedar Square, which is in the middle of Four Ways, where they've got Four Ways Mall literally down the road, Monte Cassino literally down the road. It made sense. There was too much.
Yeah. Four Ways doesn't make a lot of sense in general.
Jesus, it's such a shit place.
I'm coming for you.
Yeah.
North boy.
Buddies of mine made a game company called Cala Four Ways, and they...
oh my God.
And their slogan was, four ways in, no ways out.
Oh my.
I remember as a little kid when the four ways was a tiny little
crossing.
Stop street.
Oh,
it was
man.
A four-way stop when I was a little kid. Monte Cassino was a field of cows when I was a little kid.
Oh my gosh.
Really, there were cows grazing in a field that is now Monte Cassino.
That's insane.
It's wild. It shouldn't be there. The whole of Joburg kind of shouldn't be here. We're just here because of the gold.
Right.
But listen, I appreciate your time. Thank you. Thank you for making the time to chat. And best of luck with the film and on to the next one. Hey, you busy casting?
Yeah, we're in the middle of pre-production.
Can you speak about the next one quick?
It's an incredible film written by Ria Moeti-Vogt, my business partner.
Yeah.
She'll be directing it. I'm producing. It's called Divorced at 50. It's very interesting. So it's about a woman who...
you're going to find a lot of people that could relate with that.
Listen, on her 50th birthday, finds out that her husband is divorcing her at her birthday party and leaving her for the neighbor. So it's like Eat, Pray, Love.
I'm sold.
Yeah, Eat, Pray, Love of her going to find herself. She thinks she's trying to find a potion. You know, first a potion, a pasta, different things to get her husband back. But on this journey, she realizes that
she doesn't need a husband. It's all about her.
Actually about living, because she hadn't been living, you know? So we're very excited.
Oh, that's a lovely premise. You got me. You sold me.
Yeah, it's a beautiful film.
Oh, best of luck.
Thank you.
We'll see you down the line, man. All right.
Thank you so much. Okay. It's been an incredible experience, and I know we're going to keep collaborating with the Bioscope.
Yeah, No, this is the start of lots.
Okay.
Cheers.
Cheers.
All right. What a lovely chat. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Our home base is thevideostore.co.za, and you can see links to all our previous guest chats. We are trying our best to divide them up into all the different fields that they're in. And so there's lots more to discover. There are lots of other filmmakers, people similar to Zoe, actually, that were part of the same development program. Just about 2 weeks ago, we had Brad Katzen, whose film Soweto Blaze was also a part of this kind of NFEF indigenous thing with Netflix. So not only is it great, it's worth mentioning at this point, not only is it great that these films are getting made and put out on Netflix, but so many of them are making top 5.
Amazing.
Right?
That's fucking fantastic.
That they're not just getting lost in amongst the algorithms.
Yeah.
There's some proof that this is what people want to watch.
Right.
Yeah. They're making top 3.
Yeah.
Which is incredible.
That is incredible, dude.
So, yeah.
Thank you, South Africa.
Yeah. No, I just... It warms my heart.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
So lovely.
Just
thanks.
Just told him to go watch more A24 movies, because that discussion bummed me out.
What?
What?
The discussion we had with the distributor at
A24. About?
Not A24, at Empire. Talking about The Beekeepers, like, their best film of the year. Like, it's the worst fucking action movie ever.
Was
but
that
they
their
can't
best?
Bring down... But they can't bring down certain A24 movies because they won't make money. Because,
oh, God.
Yeah.
No,
they should bring Neon films here as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are. Those come through every now and again.
Yeah, but not as frequently as A24. Yeah.
But you have to consider main market. You have to consider the economy.
They are,
you have
to
consider what people want.
Right now,
And we'll never forget watching Beekeeper, and all of us were like, this is such a shit movie. And the one person in the group was like, it's going to make so much money.
People love to see Jason Statham playing Jason Statham, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyways.
But I love Graham. Why is he a beekeeper?
Why did he have to actually be a beekeeper?
Why was he keeping bees? What's the point?
It was a plot device. It's what gave him something Depth. Unique. Lovely. Thanks, guys. Thanks for the day.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. And we'll see you again next week.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll see you then, eh?
Boy.
Bye.